Good morning, everyone. Our reading this morning is from the Word of God, the entire third chapter of Daniel. Last week, after Daniel interpreted the king's dream, the king said, "Surely your God is a God of gods and the Lord of kings." Today, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it.
Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace."
Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up.
At this time, astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up."
Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all other kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?"
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up."
Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace.
Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods."
Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come out here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them.
Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way."
Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
So we've got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They get tossed into this furnace. But before they do, Nebuchadnezzar comes out as himself being who he has always been, which was somebody that really could have cared less about anybody else. And he was all about himself, and he was all about his power and his control. I think there's some of us in here that may have those kind of issues with power and control, and we have to always be in control and have power in certain in every situation in our life. Maybe not to the extreme of Nebuchadnezzar. Let's pray. God, I ask, Lord, that as we talk about your scriptures this morning, that you will reveal to us what you need to in order for us to grasp who you are and who we need to become. And Lord, just lead us and guide us and direct our paths. Amen. So the first thing that we discover here is that we need to recognize the need to stand. There's times in our lives when we may not understand what's going on in our lives, what's happening, and what the point and purpose is. But life is quite unpredictable at times. And they didn't know that Nebuchadnezzar this particular day was going to craft this huge god that he made in an image. We don't know what the image was, but we do know that he crafted this. He had these sculptors make this giant statue and called people out to worship this god that he had made out of gold. And I know today we don't have these gods that are made out of gold. We don't have any of that. But what we do have is we have things that we put in our lives that are taking the place of this God. And in verse 1, we just see that this was, they weren't ready for this. It wasn't something they expected that day. They didn't wake up and go, "Well, today we're going to have to, we're going to be asked to bow down before a God that's not our God." But what they did, they came to a place in which they realized that no matter what, we are going to follow our God. And then we see this problem that surfaces in verses 4 through 6. And it's a pretty major problem for them. Because as you know, that they were taken from Judah and brought likely in chains to the outskirts of Babylon. And now they're serving in the king's court. And as they're serving in Nebuchadnezzar's court, they have to do what he wants them to do. And they're able to do certain things. They're not really like a slave, but they're able to do things and they're able to move through life and not have to be in jail. But at the same time, they're under the authority of Nebuchadnezzar. They don't have freedom like we would know freedom to be. So in verse 4, actually, let's jump all the way to 7. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold. I want you to imagine being Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you are in this place where every single person bows down and falls down and worships this God that is a false God. And you stand there. You're the only three standing. And you look around, and you know somebody's going to say something. But you're not bowing. You're not bowing down. You're not coming to a place where you're going to bow down and follow something and do something that is completely contrary to everything you've lived your life to at that point. And they stand fast and stand firm. And even though this is a major problem for them, even though this comes out of nowhere and now it's a major issue and it's a major dilemma, they stand and they say, no, I'm not going to compromise who God is and what God can do in my life, no matter what happens. And there's times in our lives, we live in a society where there's dishonest conduct happening all the time. We see all these corporations and all these people that take monies and the Bernie Madoffs of the world and things that just steal from people and keep stealing and doing what they want for their own selfish purposes. And we're almost encouraged to do things, maybe not like that, but in order to succeed. It's okay to do this and okay to do that and for integrity to fall away. And greed becomes commonplace. And then selfishness becomes a part of our lives. And it becomes all about us and all about what we want to do with our lives rather than what God can and will do in our lives if we allow Him. I think some of us have really wrestled through greed, selfishness, dishonesty, and these things have been major issues that we've wrestled with in our lives. And some of us may still be dealing with these things and trying to figure them out. But in this society we live in, we have opportunity to compromise our faith and who we put our faith in every single day. And some of us may go, I don't know if it would happen every day. But it's through the small decisions and the large decisions of life. This happened to be a very big decision for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A huge decision. And it could have cost them their lives. But then the second thing is we remember that God is in control. That's what they did. They remembered God is in control. And they knew that no matter what happened, no matter what came their way, that they could trust God despite the surrounding circumstances, despite the issues at hand, despite people coming against them, an entire nation coming against them, a king coming against them. It didn't matter. What mattered most is who was in control. Our human nature desires control. It's just human nature to just desire to be in control of the situations that we have in our lives. And in verse 12, but there are some Jews who you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Now, these guys that told on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were trying to find favor in the eyes of the king. And part of finding favor, they were hoping to be promoted and move up the corporate ladder. They were hoping that Nebuchadnezzar would remember the time that they told about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then once they were burned up in the fire, he would say, who were those guys? I want to talk to them again. Didn't really go down like that, did it? The true statement, this true statement of control that happens in 16. And in 16, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego reply to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hands, O Nebuchadnezzar. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar came to this place where he's like, you're going to serve the God I tell you to serve. And if you don't, there's going to be major consequences. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came to this place where they said, oh, our God can save us from the fire. He can save us from anything. You notice that but? But even if he doesn't. A lot of times when we pray, we'll pray and we'll go, oh, Lord, if you do this, then I'll follow you. Oh, God, if you allow this person to live, if you allow this person to do whatever, then I'll do this. Then that. It's not about compromise. It's God, thank you for allowing me to have life. Lord, I ask that you move in my life. And if you don't do what I'm asking you to do right now, I ask God that you will reveal yourself more in whatever the situation is. They came to this place where they were so confident in their faith that they said, oh, our God can rescue us. But you know what? Even if he doesn't, it's fine. Because we got a bigger purpose than that. And we're not going to serve the God that you tell us to serve. We're going to follow the God that we know is real. We know is true. We know will revolutionize our lives and can revolutionize your life. Talk about a powerful, powerful example of stepping out in faith and trusting God. And it doesn't matter. I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to trust God. And no matter what comes in my life, no matter what is thrown at me, no matter what garbage gets brought my way, God's going to allow me to overcome it. He's going to allow me to persevere. He's going to allow me to endure. He's going to allow me to be the person that I can be through him. The third thing is to rely on God for strength. I wonder when we're going through life, how often or how infrequently that we actually rely on God. I think sadly, more often than not, we're relying on our own self to make the choices and decisions in life. And some of us will go, well, how do I ever know if it's God or if it's me or if it's my conscience or if it's, you know, how do I know? When I'm making a choice or a decision, how do I know that it's of God? The way we can tell if something's of God or not of God is if it lines up with the scriptures. And you may say, well, I don't really know the Bible. You gotta have, if you are a believer, a follower of Christ, the Spirit will start leading you and guiding you. And this Bible that you may have never read or you read very infrequently, the Spirit will bring you to a place where you can't help but read this. You can't stop reading this because you want to learn more. You want to grow more. You want to gain more understanding and more wisdom and discover who God is more wholeheartedly in your life. Our human nature desires that control, right? But we need to rely on God for strength. Because when God is our strength, we can have hope. And then the sentence is carried out. We see this sentence carried out. And when the sentence is carried out, they don't step away. They don't step back. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not attempt to control the situation. They didn't say, how can I do this without really compromising? Maybe I can kind of bow one knee and then have one raised, and then I'll raise a hand up to God and bow a knee, and then maybe I'll be okay. No, they said, you know what? I'm giving this to God. And if it's my time, then it's my time. But if it's not, then it won't be. That can be hard. That can be a hard place to be. But they came to this place, and they made the choice, and they followed after what they knew was what God wanted them to do. And in verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement. Because they followed God, the king got blown away. He was going, what is happening? I just had my strongest soldiers wrap them as tight as they could, and they picked them up because they were wrapped like this, right? They're like, oh, man, this is so tight, it hurts. And they get tossed in. But not only did they get tossed in, the soldiers that tossed them in, the fire was so stinking hot. When they tossed them in, they burned up. They just burned up. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to see a human burn before my eyes. Nebuchadnezzar didn't even blink twice. He didn't even think twice about it. He's just like, just toss them in the fire. Turn it up 7 times so they really, really burn. Man. Talk about someone that just didn't care about human life. Didn't really care about humans. He only cared about himself. I think a lot of us would say, I would never do that. If I had that power and that authority, I would never do that. I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but I said, apart from God, we are capable of anything. I hear people all the time say, I would never do that. I would never do this. I would never do that. But some of us do have some morality, like this sense of morals and values and things we should and shouldn't do. Some say it's conscience. That's infused in us by God. But if we are people that are living in sin and living life apart from God, we are more and more available to do evil than good. And it becomes easier and easier and easier. Those cords that were tied around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, some of us have those things tied around us, and we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Our lives are hindered. Our life is hindered and tied up. And maybe, just maybe, we need to be tossed into the fire. You may say, what is he talking about? This doesn't make any sense at all. Because look what happens in the fire. The cords get snapped. They start walking around in this inferno. But not only that. Many scholars believe Jesus showed up and made his appearance in this text. Look in the fire. Looks like one of the gods. What is that? Wouldn't that be amazing? You come to this place in your life where you're like, this might be the end. It sure seems like the end. You get tossed in the fire. All the cords get snapped off, and you start walking around the fire. But not only that, you're walking around the fire with somebody else. You're like, this is kind of cool. I'm not getting burned. And then you step out. You don't smell anything like fire. The cords are gone. And the king is going, what just happened? And the reason why he says what just happened and is blown away by what just happened is because of your faithfulness. Because of your perseverance and endurance in a place in which everything was telling you to do everything contrary to what God would have for you to do. We live in a society that often tells us things we should do that are completely contrary to what God would have us do. Every one of us has compromised our faith in some way or another. And I think we can easily sit here and go, oh man, yeah, I can remember. That was this morning when I got up. Man. But you know what? God is faithful. And when we follow him, it doesn't matter if there's a furnace blazing hot right in front of us. It doesn't matter if there's warrior standing in front of us. It doesn't matter. And you may say, this hits home more. It doesn't matter if there's a gun pointed at our head. If we stay faithful, God is going to honor that faithfulness. If we continue to divert from God's plan in our lives, how can we ever discover what God really has for us? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. This is verse 26 and 27. And the straps, prefects, governor, the straps, the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. Everybody wanted to see what just happened. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. I got to tell a funny story. That's not funny right there, but this is funny. Maybe not for one person in the place, but it's funny for me. There was one Thanksgiving, and the turkey was in the oven. And I remember someone that's very familiar to me, my mama, picks up that 25-pound turkey, because we had a lot of people at our house, picked it up, took it out, and whoosh, fire. The grease fell into the fire as a gas stove and whoosh, came and singed her hair. So I know what it's talking about with, like, a singe with, I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen that singed look. But for them to go into a fire like that and not be singed, not even have like little burn, that's amazing. Because this little puff of fire that popped out of the fire, singed hair. And we were like, Lord, thank you for not allowing her to be burned. Imagine what happened in this situation when they came out and there wasn't any smell, their robes, their body, nothing, not a hair of their heads was singed. Their robes were not scorched and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, look at what Nebuchadnezzar says. Read this. It says, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and rescued his servants. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't have a clue if that's an angel or if it's Jesus or whatever. He's just like, that's insane. What just happened here? In chapter 2, the great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true. Then Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering, an incense. And then he said, this is verse 2, chapter 2 again, 47. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings. He says, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve and worship any god except their God. And what happens if someone comes in with a gun and says, what are you going to do? If you say you believe in Jesus, then you're done. I mean, that sounds kind of radical, doesn't it? You know what happens around the world today? Did you know this is the highest time of persecution of Christians in the history of humanity? Did you know there are people every day that have to make that choice? Every day, are they going to follow after God or are they not? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came to this place where they said, no matter what, I'm following. No matter what, it doesn't matter what's going to happen, I am going to follow wholeheartedly after God. I know it's tough. I know it's hard. I know life throws all sorts of things at us. And sometimes there are things in which are really, really tough. And the question is, are we going to compromise what God wants to do in and through us because of a difficult situation? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they were not willing to compromise, were able to witness God's power at work in their own personal situation. They're able to witness God's power at work and be a huge example for the entire nation of Babylon. I wonder when people look at our lives, if they see a man or a woman that is truly following after God. When they look at our lives, do they see someone that compromises, or do they see someone that surrenders? Because when this world sees someone that surrenders and allows God to work in and through their lives, it has huge, huge impact. At the end, look what happens with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. In our faithfulness, even though we can't see past the current situation, when we are faithful, God will bless us. And you may say, I don't see any blessing coming. I've been living with this pain, this hurt, this anguish for like 5-6 years. I don't think it's ever going to end. I don't know if God even hears my prayers. I don't even know if God knows that I'm even here. I don't know if God is even real. God is real. God is listening. God is powerful. God will move, and God will bless if we follow after him. And it may not be a material blessing, but it will be a powerful spiritual blessing that we will discover in the context of the difficulties and struggles of life. And those are the things that we can be refined by the fire of the Spirit. Because when John was baptizing, he said, I baptize with water, but there is one coming who will not only baptize with water, but will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. May we be people that are baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire, so we can follow after God with every part of who we are. Because God relieves the situation, and then God gets the glory. God ultimately relieves whatever that situation is, and God will ultimately get the glory. I don't know if some of us believe that, but I pray that we will come to this place where we will discover more deeply and more profoundly the beauty of following after a God that desires us to see him more clearly. I'm not going to say that Jesus, you're going to see Jesus with your own eyes right before you, and you're going to walk in a fire and you won't be burned. But I am going to say that God will get you through. And when we persevere and endure, there's nothing but beauty that's going to come at the end. And it may not seem beautiful to us, but it'll start cleansing us and renewing us and allow us to discover the hope that is in us. Let's pray. God, there's so much that goes on in our lives. Many of us have had a lot of pain and hurt in our lives, a lot of struggles and tragedies. Lord, some of us have had major things to overcome. And Lord, some of us are still trying to figure out how to overcome. God, you can empower us to be overcomers. You can empower us to be people we could not normally be on our own. And Lord, I just ask, God, that you will allow us to be reshaped and rekindled in you. God, don't allow us to compromise our faith. Allow us to grow in faith, to grow in wisdom, to grow in knowledge of who you are. And Father, if we have not discovered you in our lives, I ask God that even this very morning, we will ask for you to be the Lord and the Savior and the Redeemer of our lives. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us. Allow us to be led by you and not by our own human intuition. Guide us and lead us to you. Amen.